Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not, it's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkiz Wrap-Up. All right. Hello, folks. Welcome to Malkiz Wrap-Up. This is probably the most organized intro I've done so far. Every week you've listened to me, and it's just been the start of a conversation. I've gone, oh, by the way, we're recording. So haven't done that this week. But this week I am sitting down with, after some technical hitches, successfully navigated, sitting down with the one and only, the Nippleator himself, the king of humor in my book, especially on Twitter. But, you know, you didn't say that at the Twitter Time Awards. The one and only Kev Angus himself. How you doing, Kev?
Woo! I'm pointing to the sign in the background that says applause.
Woo! Applause!
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, it's been great. And thank you. And honestly, if I'm the king, you're the emperor, then it's easy.
No.
It's going to be an intro where we compliment each other a lot. So just,
you know, yeah. Just roll with it, folks. Yeah, you have to. So if you don't know what I mean by all of that, aside from the fact that Kev is hilarious, Kev and I went up against each other in the Twitter Time Awards. And I honestly thought when I saw Kev was also nominated, like, well, I ain't winning this year again either, because I didn't win last year. I lost to the other Rob last year. I was like, Kev's going to wipe the floor with me. Kev's hilarious. You know, you see his tweets all the time. And it was close. It was close, but I actually won, which shocked me. So
it was well deserved. I mean, you ran the show too. You made the whole night happen, from what I could tell. So it was just. I think it was fitting. I think it was very poetic.
Everyone said, like, so we're getting way off topic straight away, but I think that's what this recording is going to be like. Everyone's like, oh my god, they're kind of like pandering to the crowd because they played my parody. I want to be clear, that was Alan's choice of parody, which parody they put in. It wasn't my choice. Alan's just like, these are the ones we're playing. So I had them queued up and off we went. The reason he picked that is because I messed around with Lesbian Nerdy's joy and love for the woman who was the Doctor Who, whose name eludes me right now. That's frustrating. Anyway, Jodie Whittaker. There we go. So I did a parody of Stacey's mom, doing it with Talon Vore falling in love with Morgaze, and Morgaze was being played by the part of Jodie Whittaker. So, and Lesbian Nerdy was hosting the Humorist Award. So it kind of all fit together. And that's why we did it. But if people were like, there's a bit of, I don't know what you call this, blackmailing votes. That's not blackmailing, is it? You know, I don't know. There was some suggestion that my parody had been picked to make me win, which I hope was not the case. And if it was, I apologize. So. Kev.
Get this out of here. Leave those conspiracies at the table and talk about the ones that matter.
Okay.
Like the dumb quizzes that, you know, the Wheel of Time page posts. You know, we're all looking for the secret. That's where real meat and bones.
Yeah, the yams. The yams is what we need to talk about. There we go. This is true. Okay, well, before we dive into the yams, Kev, tell the listeners at home a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I'm Kevin. I was very emotionally starved for a few years recently. No reason why. You know, could be any reason. But, you know, I found myself on Twitter of time early this year, and man, it's been a blast. You know, I'm not a comedian, but I'd like to think of myself as if I was one sometimes. But I used to do like improv on stage, so I have a lot of like experience with like the whole like yes anding and building bits upon bits and callbacks. So that's just part of my personality anyway, which is why I did improv and not stand up, because writing jokes is a lot harder than just going on stage and just riffing, kind of like what we're going to be doing. So that just comes instinctively to me. So I can do that all day. And I get to do that on Twitter with a lot of goofballs in the industry, just on Twitter at time in general. You know, and everyone's there is just like, they're so easy to bounce off of, and I think that's why I have so much fun, is like they're just receptive to the bit, and they'll commit to the bit, and I can make callbacks to myself, and they'll find it funny. If I do it long enough, they're going to be like, all right, there's his face again, because he's, posted a nipple monstrosity creation. And and it's just me just going.
It's great, honestly.
Audio, yeah, I can't see that. But.
Kev pulled a great face, by the way, folks. Yeah, for the pleasure of just myself, it was very entertaining. So please just envision that in your minds.
But you'll see it on Twitter too.
Yeah, speaking of your face, you have like a character account now, I saw. It was this yesterday or the day before. Give us a little, what is this character? I didn't dive into it. I was scrolling, I saw it. I'm like, I'm going to save that for Sunday. That's going to be fun.
You've made the right choice. So it's just I feel like it's been an idea I've been bubbling with for a while. Because I coined like the idea that the things I make out of the chop nipples are called nipple spawn. So it's like shadow spawn, but nipple infused or whatever. So people can call me Agonor and Kevinor and all that stuff. And Nipinor is one that I've gotten a few times. So I made an Agonor account because there aren't really a lot. And they're not. I think there's one or two that I've seen since making this one. But before that point, I hadn't seen any of them. So I was, I was like, oh, it's a gap in the market, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a character that lives and dies. What's the spoiler of this?
Full spoilers, always full spoilers, yeah. Well, we're talking Twitter of time. There's got to be full spoilers. It needs to be.
That's fair. So, the character of Agonor lives and dies on, like, the same 30 pages that he exists for. Kind of like Bilal, too,
Yeah.
So like he's there and gone, comes back in a weird way later on, but
I think fit it into a narration once. It's that little that he appears on the page. So
yeah, it's very, very simple and low. We've talked a bit about making a unit of measurement out of Bilal's page time, like how many Bilals was this person in the book for? And
oh wow,
maybe it could be a contender for those first two clowns from the Eye of the World. Maybe there were actually less page time, but Bilal was just I guess he probably has negative time on page though, if you factor in the Balefire.
This is quite possible. Yeah, this is very very possible. So but live chat made a GM, and now we know Bilal means worthless. Pretty much. This is true.
So
you now have a character account as well as your regular Kev account.
So Agonor, I was like, maybe it'll help curate it a little bit more, because there is a part of me that does feel bad a little bit about the people who really don't want to see that stuff. And like, I try to tell them here's the words I'm going to use in the posts. Mute them if you don't want to see it. Or if there's one that you just don't want to see, here's what I'll call it, so you can mute that word. So,
right.
I do feel a little bit of sympathy for that regard, because, they're not that bad, but they're kind of weird. And I get that, in the moment of creation, you're not thinking about how weird it is. You're just like, man, this is going to be funny.
It is funny. It is unusual humor to some people. That is probably fair. Yeah. But it's humor that I imagine a lot of Twitter timers appreciate. So, but I mean, you have the character account now, so you could go hardcore there, I suppose, and genetically create all the humor you want, and then if it's not their style of humor, then they don't have to. Don't have to follow that account, I suppose.
Exactly. So. Curate the timeline you want to see. If you want to still follow me because you like me, but you would rather not see those things that I make, just don't follow that account. And that's cool. Or mute them. It doesn't matter to me. Do what you want to do, because I'm there to just goof around and have fun. So.
Well, this is good. We do have a lot of fun. So, okay. I try to ask a couple of questions of my guests. I say of my guests. This is the fourth time I've done this podcast style now, and one of which was an event with 13 other people, so didn't really get a lot of questions there. But Kev, here's the question I'd like to ask you. Tell us the question we should be asking of you, but we just don't know it because we don't know you well enough.
Hmm. So what question should you ask me, but you don't know you should ask me because you don't know me well enough?
Yeah.
Huh. What an interesting question.
In essence, tell me something I don't know about you.
No. This is profound. This is profound. This is one that's kind of weird, and I think it's only come up a couple of times, but I am the second oldest of seven siblings.
Seven? Wow.
Yeah. So it's a pretty big number, and, they're all pretty weird, too. But I got most of the funny gene, and they got, all my brothers are taller than me. I'm like 5'9", and they're all over 6 foot, so,
Oh, wow. Yeah. Are you one of seven guys?
Two sisters, but all the brothers are younger than me, and they're the last one just hit 6 foot this past summer, so.
Wow.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm the second. This is kind of weird. I'm the second oldest of five. My sister, I have one sister and three brothers. My sister is older than me, and my brothers are all younger than me. However, I am taller than all of them.
Oh, lucky.
I don't know if I got the funny. I don't think I quite got the funny. My brothers, I got some of the funny. I think I got like an equal amount. It was split between the four boys. So. Jess in chat is asking, I'm not sure if this is an appropriate question to ask, but how is your turtle?
I have a tortoise and his name is Kevin.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
Yeah. It's the first line in my Twitter bio is, my tortoise is named Kevin. So if anyone's ever wondering it, that's where that information is.
Because you actually have a tortoise and his name is Kevin.
Yeah. His name is Kevin. Yeah. I didn't name him that. My roommates did at the time, but,
Awesome. Okay, and how old is your tortoise?
I got him maybe 9 years ago, so he would have been like four or five around then, so probably 14, 15 years old. He's a teenager now, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool, getting into the trouble and shit and stuff, yeah.
They do hump the logs, I will say.
They do hump the... Now, here's a question I am going to ask about this. I had a friend who also had a tortoise and sadly had to rehome because of moving. And they lost it once because it climbed a small tree in their garden.
They are tricky. You have to keep an eye on them. Like if you can tie a balloon to them, that's like the perfect way to track them because they want to find the best spot to hide from you if you give them the chance. So they are tricky.
And
you want to put a diaper on them too.
Oh, okay. Have you ever lost Kevin?
Under a heater, yeah. He hid under the heater, which is, took a while to find him there. One time I let him loose in the house.
Oh my God. That sounds like you wouldn't expect them to be like the ones where you're like, shit, where's it gone? I got to find it. Like you're worried like, what has my cat gotten into? What's the dog up to? Like, oh my God, the hamster escaped from the cage or whatever, But the tortoise,
not you one give them a chance and they're piecing out of there. They're a lot faster than you think. And, they're looking for that hot spot. Like they just want to kind of get cozy under there. So, they're tricky though. And they're picky. They're very picky eaters and they have a lot of weird personality that I probably, anthropomorphize onto him.
Oh, okay.
His name is also Kevin, but yeah, he is quite like, sassy. I think that's the way I describe him is he's a sassy turtle. Turtle sassy. Is okay, by the way, because all tortoises are turtles. It's just not vice versa. So.
Oh, so this is like a whiskey and scotch thing, or
Because he's a land. He's a land animal. He doesn't have doesn't live underwater.
Right. Oh, so that's the difference. Okay, so land animal is a tortoise, and the sea animal or water animal is a turtle.
Yeah, you don't want to toss a tortoise into a pond. That's all I'm gonna say.
Right.
If you see one on the side of the road, just put it in the grass.
Okay.
But a turtle, they live underwater. They're built for that.
Right. There's your animal tip of the week. A new segment here, apparently. I love this. But I'm going to add that question. Do you have a pet? And if so, what
that's
pet
a good
do
one,
you
yeah.
have? Yeah, that's what I should ask now. So, Jess in chat, I learned something. So I know my guest last week, I know that Grace and I saw him last week. Grace has a cat, Copper. He's a grumpy old man. We get along really well. But I didn't ask Anas if he has a pet, so I'll have to remedy that.
I'll talk about my cat as well, just for his sake. And her name's Zucchini, and she's like a dog.
Zucchini. Yeah. Well, that's funny. My roommate has a dog, Maverick, who's a grumpy old man as well. Yeah. I have a trend of meeting animals, it seems, like grumpy old men. And he thinks he's a cat, or he behaves like a cat. So this is funny that you've got a cat that thinks it's a dog. So how so?
Yeah. Plays fetch, you know, is like, is great. Great with the kid, like you've got a 4-year-old. Great, like you. This is the kind of cat that would never actually scratch you. Like the only time it would ever happen is if like you're really playing, like, and they get like really amped up, and it's like
right, yeah.
You know, they make a right wrong swipe while you're swinging the mouse around. They accidentally flip you, but like,
yeah.
She's like the kind of cat you can get like really like cozy with. So great with great with having a kid, but yeah, she's also very needy and needs to be played with a lot. She's very.
Maverick's not like that. I mean, he likes to play, but I mean, since I come home today, he's wanted to snuggle the shit out of me for about 5 minutes, and then he's like just curled up on my pile of laundry that I just haven't taken upstairs after I washed, and it's just been sleeping there, so which is unusual. He normally sleeps on my roommate's cushion, so bless him. Anyway, enough animal talk, and we'll add the animal question to the segment. Kev, we know you a little better now, but obviously I know you from Twitter. You've been on Threefold Talk, which is my YouTube show, along with my co-stars, and you're always entertaining, but you're big on Twitter. Like, I always see you tweeting, like, all the time. I mean, sometimes I do think, like, does this guy have a job other than making us laugh on Twitter? But you mentioned the HinderStream. How did you get in the HinderStream?
So it was actually off the back of Critter's Jeopardy. She did like a Wheel of Time Jeopardy. So I actually came to Twitter time because my partner watched her TikToks and is always showing them to me. She would only watch the show, but she knows that, you know, how much I love the books and watch the show. Right. So she would find her TikToks on there and show them to me later on or save them. And so eventually I joined when I had a Twitter account that I just never used. So I followed her and I was like, oh, here's a bunch of other people I can follow too. And that's how I kind of found myself there. So then I submitted a question for her Wheel of Time Jeopardy, like maybe a month in at that point. And I think she used it for one of the categories. So I was like there on this. I showed up for the stream too. And then I think after that, Jess was there. And I think she actually got me picked up by the HinderStream for saying the word saver. So I mean, they tagged me in at that point, yeah.
Yeah, Saver will get you in. Like, you know, I mean, I feel like the Finns have that, like, you know, you get, like, alerts for Twitter accounts. I feel like, you know, Snakes and Foxes has that set up for the word Saver. I wonder how many times people tweet about a steak and get caught in the HinderStream accidentally. So, you know, because it feels like it works that way. Jess is complimenting your question for Jeopardy, by the way. Do you remember it?
It was pretty cool. It was cool. It was like, it was like the world of like the Eelfin, Nailfin, Sindhole is like based on, was it like Neverland or something like that? Oh man, my brain is. Snakes and Foxes was in the Trivia Stream. Do you remember what it was, Jess? It was like something about Sindhole. I think it was about it like being a parallel to Neverland or something like that.
I've got to be honest, I'm terrible for catching other streams, usually because they're not on at the time. That's very convenient for me. And then because when they're live, I'm like, I want to go back and watch it later. That's really like, I want to be in live chat, even if I don't say much in live chat. I want to be in live chat. Yeah. So I do miss a lot of these things. And I think the last time I watched, what did I watch? It's Tavlan After Dark, with Brian doing the Puns of Time, which I'm so glad I got to play live at WattCon, because every time I've ever listened, and I do admit that I've stopped listening. I've said this before, that I've stopped listening to podcasts since the new year came out. So haven't listened consistently in like 10 months now. But I used to just be like, I know the answer to that one. So I feel like if I watched Jeopardy back and it wasn't live, I would also be like, I know this one. Yeah. Like, you know, please let me answer. So, yeah. But no, well, that's a fun way to get in.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, and that was, so Sindhole translates to Neverland. That's what it was.
Nice. Yeah,
that was the trivia. So, and that's based on Old Tongue translations or something like that. So,
okay.
So
I learned something new myself today. I did not know that.
Yeah, a little fun facts, FFs. And, but yeah, so HinderStream is fun. I kind of just only hung out there. Like, I still followed new people along the way, but it was just kind of a nice, tight-knit little group where I could just get my feet wet and, you know, kind of feel out the comfort level of like, you know, how open could I be here? Like, how could I, you know, how well could I actually interact with these people? Because I've never made friends online ever. Like, it's not that like I don't have real life friends, but I've just never been able to crack that code of like getting into a community. Like, I never knew what the magic combination of like the people and like the personalities ever would be. So it just was never something that I bothered with because it just never happened. So right. I was very, very pleased and surprised and still having so much fun with all you guys. So it's been just been a great experience. And, you know, I credit them with just helping me relax and like let my guard down and be just kind of myself on there instead of just like putting forth this like personality or what I expected people would want to see. So they were just, you know, really supportive, really nice, and just a fun place to just always have notifications because it just makes your brain be like, man, I'm popping off right now. I got max notifications every morning because there's always someone chatting and they're always, you know, liking your stuff and replying to you about stuff, and it's just fun. So yeah.
I've been in a couple times. I found I did have to mute.
Oh,
I did
yeah,
have to mute because my phone was just like not like the sound of my phone. I mean, like mute the actual thread because I would go like particularly when it's popping off, as you say, you know, I would go to my phone. I looked at my phone 10 minutes ago. How are there already 37 notifications from Twitter? How is that a thing? It's been 10 minutes. Like that's like a tweet every 15 seconds or something stupid. Like, how is this happening?
I blame nobody who mutes it. It is your phone. It is your phone battery. It is your
It is the battery, isn't it? Absolutely. Like, yeah.
I do not blame anybody. It is not for it's not for everybody. But it is for everybody, but you might not think it's for you, but it could be. Anyone could be in there, but you might not like it.
I definitely enjoyed my time in the Hinder stream. In fact, I enjoyed it so much that I always recommend to people that if you get caught in it, at least hang out for a hot second. You know, even
moderation
if you find it too much.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, hang out for a hot second, give it a go. At least you can say you've been there, you've done that. You know, like, try everything once, they say, don't they? You know, like, try the Hinder stream, folks. It's good fun. If I did interview them once, actually. And
I remember. I love that episode, actually. I love that one.
It was great. I had these lists of questions of things, and I was like, I don't often, usually my podcasts are pretty chill, especially in this new format. I take it real, real easy because I want it just to be fun and relaxed. But on that occasion, I'm like, I feel like I need a few questions, but I don't need a lot because I can tell, I think there was 7 or 8 of us, that it's just going to go. Yeah.
They're all wonderful. Yeah, and it turns 1 year old next Saturday on the 26th. I don't want to date this. I don't know if this is like what the delay is, but
Well, actually, I like to release my episodes on Saturdays, so it will be
today.
Future Kevin Rob. It's gonna be today, folks. Is the Hinder stream's like? Isn't this appropriate that we're talking about the Hinder stream and this episode will come out on the Hinder stream's birthday? I love that. Happy name day, Hinder stream. This is very poetic because
we're gonna be having a lot of fun that day too.
Oh, God, are there things planned? I'm assuming I'm not allowed to know.
Some things are in the works.
Nice.
I'll say that much. Yeah. So you know, I just you know keep an eye out. There's been some invitations floating around. I think we sent one to at the Wheel of Time, of course.
Of course,
and,
yes.
Yeah. A few other you know notables, but it's an open invitation. So if you're curious. You're too late. No, actually, you're not too late because if you're listening to it when it comes out today, you're just in time.
But if you
missed it, if you're listening the next day, I'm sorry, you've missed it.
Like a live stream, you've missed the party. You have to go back and enjoy it solo. I'm sure it will still be entertaining, but you need to be there. We have a question from live chat. Can you confirm your status as the Tweeter of Chaos? That almost rhymes.
It does with your accent. Yeah, I like that.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Because it doesn't work with status, but status, yeah.
Status, yeah. Can you confirm your status as the Tweeter of the Chaos? Yeah. There's a rhyme. There's a rap in there somewhere. So Yeah, shall we just move on for that question? I think that's the appropriate response.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. Good evasion. Yes, that's what Jess is saying. Well, I'm glad you've found a place where you can be yourself, Kev, because you know that's important. So.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think I got to the right. I think it couldn't have happened at a better time because I'm at that age. Not that I'm like particularly old or young, but like I feel like I hit that sweet spot of like. Mentally, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to be myself anyway. And then finding people who were receptive to that, like kind of just coincided. So it was really nice. I've never muted the Hinder stream. I've been there since that day.
Nice. Yeah. You haven't been there the full year though, have you?
No, I haven't. It was May. It was the end of May that I joined. Yeah.
That's fair. That's okay. I mean, all are welcome at all times. I know this. It's good fun. All right. So I want to ask about the nippling.
All right.
How did that happen? Because I remember when I started seeing the nipples, but I can't remember what caused the nipples. And that's quite a sentence to have said. I feel like if I did sound promos for the podcast,
that's a great one. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. So I do know that there was a first wave of it that occurred before I was on Twitter of Time, led by Esther on Twitter.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so Thirst of Time, I think, is what the hashtag was used back in the day.
That sounds right.
It was just thirsting over Trollocs. That was like the origin, like the seed of the idea.
Right.
And then, it was late in the summer and we had just kind of all been hitting that point of like the longing of no news and just kind of waiting for anything to happen, and then I think I'm pretty sure Melinda was one of the few that she posted like a hot or not list of all the Trolloc types that same evening, and then I was introduced to the pictures, like the behind the scenes one with Daniel Henney with the two Trollocs side by side. Mm-hmm. That's the classic now. That is the classic.
That's
like Coke original. That's like the, you're always going to recognize that.
Coke original. I'm going to have to remember that anytime someone brings up, oh look, that's the Coke original nipple picture.
Yep. it's got the hair around it. It's like slightly tanned.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I could make some jokes out of that, and just kind of like it just was cropped and zoomed for a bit, and then I added it to Rafe's eyes to make him into Rafe Nipkins.
Yes,
that's Rafe with Trolloc nipple eyes, and we love Rafe. Honestly, it's all done with all of the love for the showrunner and the writers, because man, we're just trying to entertain ourselves while they do their job. Because we are hungry. We're hungry for content.
We are. Very hungry. Yes, this is so true.
How we take care of it.
Yeah, and you've never really stopped. There was maybe not last week, maybe it was the week before. There was some tentacle stuff for a while.
Oh, that's right. I did make a Jumara.
That was at Jumara. Yes.
Yeah, it was Heidi Klumara, actually. Heidi Klumara, the Jumara, because she was her in the and. It was her with that weird worm costume she wore for Halloween, kind of like emerging from the blight, as we saw in the show. And of course, it had a pair of the classic Coke original titties on there. So
yeah. So and then was it Lauren wanted the nippleless version of it or something, didn't he? So
yeah, he did get the request. I took the nipples off of them. I don't know if you ever noticed that they were in the corners, though, very faint though. One in each corner, just very, 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 very faint. So
that is perfect. Oh my god, I hope he uses that in the video.
I put it in a place where if he found it, he could crop it and I wouldn't be offended. But on the off chance he didn't, or if he saw it and liked it, Lauren, I hope you liked it.
Now I'm just curious. I wonder if he's just done his episode 8 reaction video. Now I'm curious. I haven't watched it yet. I'm just curious because apparently it's a big video. I remember him sending out the post about it. I'm curious if it's in there because that would be the episode if he needed to use it. That would make sense that it was there. So, folks, you need to go and check if he's got nipples in the corner of his.
It's on my watch list too.
What? I love that. Oh, I'm excited about this now. Okay, this is good. This is good. As soon as we finish, I know what everyone's doing.
Definitely.
Oh, that's really good. That's going to be chuckling.
That's the thing, too. I like to plant seeds like this. Like, I'll just, like, drop something like that I can use later on down the line like this. Like, it's just, like, it just makes these, they're just, I think it's like how Robert Jordan wrote, is like, he would just leave open threads. And if he wanted to come back to it, he could make it look like he had like planned it the whole time.
Yeah.
Thing. You just leave threads around and you just tug on them if you need to.
Just give it a little tug, folks. Just a little one and see what you get from it. So
yeah,
I love that. That is absolutely brilliant. The Jess is dying in chat about it. Kevin or embedded nipples in Lauren's stream.
There's no way that can demonetize him, right? Like, there's just no way.
No.
I feel so bad. Okay.
No. I'm sure it'll be perfectly fine. Okay. If anything, it might make it less likely to be demonetized because it's transformation. You know, it's transformative content. Yeah, so it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, I don't think they ban nipples on YouTube. We show you guys show a butt all the time.
Exactly. We never get in trouble for the butt. I mean, until Henny finds out, and then who knows, he might not appreciate the butt. I hope he does appreciate the butt. And if you don't know what that is, folks, you need to go to Threefold Talk. God, you just reminded me, this week we had Michael Livingston on Threefold Talk.
Oh, my God.
And after Fear the Spear, we were like, we like to do a cleanse afterwards, Michael. And we put the butt on screen. And I was like, I definitely felt like that was the moment where our humor and our quirkiness of a show, because he'd asked us in advance, like, well, what is this like? And we were like, we're not a dusty wheel. Like, you can fucking swear and shit if you like. You go for it. Like, you know, we get a little, maybe a tad risque occasionally. Like, you know, we go for it. He's like, no, I'm down for this. This is good. And then we did that. And I think, like Jess is saying in chat, his face was just like, that was a man's ass on screen. Oh boy, yeah, we did that.
Oh, that was wonderful.
It was, wasn't
it? He's never going to forget that. He's never going to forget that.
No, I mean, I said to him, I was like, I guarantee you, Michael, we've got some questions you have never been asked before. Because everyone's asking about Origins, which is amazing. Have you read it, by the way?
I have. It was great. I loved it. Especially, like, I'm still actually chewing through the glossary. That's the only part I've slowed down on because I was
reading.
I stopped to read a little bit of new Brandon Sanderson, but a little bit of Lost Metal. But I got the glossary left to chew through. But I did finish most of the biography stuff and the stuff about him. And it was it was really good.
It's amazing.
That.
Yeah, I read through the book. I started listening to the audiobook as well because I'm like, I want to hear Michael and Kate and Michael because there's two Michaels, and I wanted to hear Harriet narrate the foreword that she put in there. And I know at the end of the audiobook, there's an interview with Rosamund Pike as well. So I'm like, I want to catch that too. I'm like, I had a credit on all, I've got a few credits actually, because I just don't spend them on anything, it seems. And I was like, I'm really enjoying it. I haven't got to the glossary in the listen yet, but I know I'm going to go through a few times to find things. So the glossary was fun when I read through it, but I know it needs more investigation, because I'm sure there's things in there that, you know, we're not picking up on just yet, but it's a great book. So it's been a busy time for him, and I'm sure that was an experience. He looked like he had a lot of fun the whole show anyway, so
he was great. He had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and he survived. He survived Fear the Spear as well.
He did, overwhelmingly. He gave real good answers, you know?
He did. He was very funny. He was very, very charismatic.
He's so charismatic. I said to my co-stars on the show, I was like, I want to give him an introduction. And this is before I'd watched his interview with Lauren and before I'd gotten around to seeing his appearance on Dusty Wheel last week. So I'd actually watched both of those. I finished very early from work on Thursday. And I watched both of those long prior to the show that we did Thursday night, because the show's at 2 a.m. for me, so I had plenty of time in the evening to do that. And I'd already said to my co-stars, I want to write him an introduction. And then I found out that everyone was giving him an introduction.
Oh, like, my God.
And I was like, okay. So Lauren gave him the same introduction that the innkeeper gave him, with the exception the innkeeper said, "We now ask everything of him." And I was like, where did they get... Does Michael have a preset introduction? And I was like, but he hasn't said anything in the emails to Grace. He hasn't said anything in the emails to Leia when they're doing the battle prep. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, well, I'll go find some information off his website and we'll go from there. And the spiel they were using is on his website. I'm like, okay, that makes more sense now. So I'm like, right. So I took that and I was like, I don't want this bit. I don't want that bit. I want to take this out and put in something, you know, a bit more low key and stuff. And the King Ferdinand bit, I think that was an addition. I think Grace had one that added it.
Actually, oh, that was nice. That was good.
But yeah, he said it was a good introduction. So
he liked it.
It was a lot of fun.
It might end up on the website too. I would check back maybe in a week's time, and maybe he's updated it.
Proud father to King Ferdinand. That should be on the website. King Ferdinand is fucking, when he got him up on screen with him as well. Oh, it was so cute.
Yeah, I know.
It was so cute. So that's definitely been a highlight this week. What else?
Yeah.
You're on Twitter a lot more than I am. While Twitter's still around.
Oh yeah,
we'll get into that in a hot second. What is there anything I've missed this week that you caught and you think, hey, we should mention that to folks who don't do the tweetering so much?
I guess there was of course the 1 year since the last season premiered that happened this week.
Shit, yeah, that did happen this week, didn't it? And I didn't say a word about it.
It's never too late.
Maybe I should make it. Yeah, it's been a busy week, folks. That's why. There we go. Edit that bit out, obviously. It has been a whole year. What did you do for the release? Did you go to? Was there a fan viewing near you? Did you watch it at home?
I watched it at home with my wife. That was it. Yeah, because I didn't know anyone that wanted to watch it, and I didn't live anywhere that had a premiere like that. So I was just like, I'll just watch it as soon as it comes out. And I did.
Nice.
Actually, I think I watched it by myself the first night, and then I watched it with her the next night, actually, if I remember correctly. So I watched it twice, but
yeah, man. I'm impressed by that. I also would have probably watched it by myself first and then be like, right, okay, we can watch it together now. Because I need to react without worrying about what you're going to think about how I react to this.
That is fair as well, yeah. And I'm a pretty open, even before it hit the screen, you know, I talked to her about it, because there was always, you know, there's always hesitation and concern with adaptations. And
right.
I feel like I'm on the, like, most receptive end, in the sense of, like, not too much could change me as long as the characters have been consistent as they are, which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I feel like they are the same characters I've read about 14 times now. So, yeah. For me, my experience with it, it's very, very immersive and very true to the actions I think the characters would take. So I really enjoy it and I love it. And I also wanted to, you know, be able to get my point of view through it, just because sometimes you go into it with an open mind and you end up not liking it. And that's also fine.
This is true.
I wanted to give her a clean experience, because odds are she's not going to read the books ever. She just doesn't read fantasy. That's just never been her thing. But
it's not everybody's thing. That's totally fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But she'll watch it. And, she always watched Game of Thrones with me and stuff. So for a while that was on. And, I think it's just nice to have, be able to make the story that you like so much accessible to people that would never read it, just because they just don't either read often, or they don't have time to read, or it's just not their genre. I mean,
yeah,
it's not.
My mother's the same. She enjoys fantasy stories, but she doesn't enjoy, what's the phrase she uses? Overly descriptive authors. So she's like, when I read a paragraph and they've taught me 12 different ways why this dress is blue, I'm already lost. And I was like, do you know what? I can appreciate that. That's a, that's a fair criticism of Robert Jordan's writing. But she watched the show and she enjoyed it, and I'm the same. I enjoyed the show too. It has some amazing points. I think the cold open of episode 7 is probably one of the best cinematic scenes I've pretty much seen anywhere. I used to think the fight scene between Ewan McGregor and Christian Haydenson, who in episode 3 of Star Wars, I used to think that was pretty much the best fight scene I've ever seen in my life, because I nerd out and like go behind the scenes stuff, and they practiced long and hard so they could actually do that fight as fast as you see it on screen and that effectively. And that takes dedication and skill. Like, they broke so many practice sabers doing that, doing the practice for that. And then, yeah, it's insane. Like, that's not sped up, that scene. I tell people this, they're like, what?
I don't think I knew that.
Oh, I can't remember how I found. I watched something and it was mentioned. It was like a director's commentary or something. I can't remember exactly. Yeah, and Ewan and Hayden, you know, practiced until they could legitimately do that scene that fast. There is nothing sped up. There's, you know, maybe like when they jump from place to place, well, across the lava fields, obviously that's true. But like, obviously, even when they're fighting in that little room, like the control room, and he's jumping like on a table, off a table type thing, that's legitimately them jumping around. When they're just standing there and they go, you know, it's just moving around like what? That's them legitimately moving that fast. It's insane. Yeah, I know, right? But then I saw the cold open to episode 7, and I was just like, well, that's up there with that easily. Like, it's incredible.
Truly impressive.
Got to point out that Alice is in chat screaming at me to finish Kenobi because I've watched 2 episodes, I think. I'm terrible. Alice, I'll get around to it one day, I promise. Maybe. Just going
to
murder
There's a lot of stuff
convention.
To do.
Right? Yeah. Yes. You know, like, I work for a living, dude.
me too. It's weird all day because I work for a living.
Yeah, I gotta pay the bills. But are there things I didn't like about season 1? Absolutely,
of course. You
know?
Yeah.
You know, and that's just not like effects or storyline. You know, that's, you know, sometimes I'm like, hey, I don't like how you did this in this scene. Does it affect the whole story? No. Did I like it? No. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think it was a real solid start. So,
yeah, it's got so much potential. I think that's the thing. You got to see the potential in, like, knowing that they've already taken arguably the weakest of the book series, adapting that first book is like it. The story takes off from there. Like, I think most people would have Eye of the World close to the bottom of their rankings. You know, it is, of course, a classic and it is great. But in terms of, you know, the uniqueness of the story, it was still very Lord of the Rings-esque on purpose for the first book. So. And, you know, that's the stylistic choice. And I enjoy the way he experiments with, like, each book of, like, just changing up the style of, like, having no Rand, barely any Rand in the Dragon Reborn. Like, that's, like, number 2 or 3 on my list because of the experimental aspect of it. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So, no, I can appreciate all of them like that, but.
It's very cool. Fun fact about like you saying Eye of the World being the bottom of most people's lists, it's actually Michael Livingston's favorite book.
Did he say that? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It's in the. So I interviewed him after the actual. We called it his book tour, but it was obviously just that one night, a couple of weeks ago now, a week and a half ago, whatever it was. You know, in that 10 minutes, I got to sit with him because A, he needed to get going. It'd been a long day for him, long few days. And B, there was no charging station near with me for the laptop. So my laptop had about 13% charge when I sat down with him. I'm like, let's do 10 minutes, mate, because my laptop's telling me it's got 16. So let's just make sure we got that covered. But yeah, he said Eye of the World for nostalgia purposes is his favorite book.
Okay. Yeah, I totally respect that. Like, yeah, I don't poo-poo anyone's rankings. They're yours to your heart's content. Have it be your number one book.
Yeah, so that's fair. It's also Harriet's favorite book.
Ah, that's sweet. So, that's actually really nice.
Yeah, I think that was very sweet. I got that. I saw that on Critter's interview of Harriet, which was
That's right.
Very awesome. Yeah. So. Right. So now we've talked about what happened. Like, you know, it's been a year since the first season came out. I need to do a thread on Twitter or something like that before Twitter crashes. There's my segue. Let's talk about Twitter and, I suppose, Mastodon, or dare I say Facebook,
some of that stuff.
Or somewhere. Like, is Twitter dying? Do you think Twitter is dying? Like, is Twitter going to disappear? Are we losing Twitter of time?
It feels really weird because, man, that one night was just like, You almost wish it had, just because of how wild everybody got that.
They got so worked up, didn't they? Tweet was like, "Oh, goodbye, Twitter. It's been so long. Find me in the master sphere." I don't know. Like, I'm trying to make up words now. Like, there's a lot going on, wasn't there?
Yeah, and obviously, you know, I'm happy that it didn't. Of course, I'll just disclaimer: still using Twitter. Happy it's still there. But man, it was a lot of fun, and I think I got a lot of my posting for the week done that night. Like, as far as like my creative juices, I felt like drained. I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to make anything tomorrow. I'm just like, I'm just spent.
And then he did tweet the next day anyway.
And then I did. I'd, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah, because why not?
Why not? Indeed. Yeah. But gosh, it was. I woke up to that.
That was Thursday, because it happened while you guys were still live. That's when it just kicked off. Like, the flame had been lit while you guys were live. So after you guys were
what started it? Because I have no idea what started it. I just started seeing the posts. Because obviously I finished the show, you know, chatted to Michael for a hot second, and we're like, dude, go to bed. You got to finish a book tomorrow. Say goodnight to the co-hosts. And then went off to bed because it was, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I woke up to, this. Grace is in chat. Mass resignations. Okay.
Yes, right. That was the inciting incident. And then Jess, oh, no, I'm sorry, S and Kaylee. I'm not sure if I've never said her name out loud before. Kylie, maybe. Sorry, apologies, Kylie. Or Kaylee. Kylie. They were just shitposting because of the mass resignations, and then they tagged me about making hot sauce nipple tassels for a pair of college ladies. So you know, like,
hot,
man, I guess
sauce.
I guess I'm on. I guess I'm clocking in.
I gotta
get to work.
Yeah.
So you know, that was how it kicked off for me. But you know, it was the mass resignation, and people just kind of be like, you know, realizing that, oh, you know, if there's no one there, you know, is he actually pulling the plug? Or if something breaks in the middle of the night, having like a cascade effect, or, you know, so right. I think the idea mostly now is that it'll be kind of like a slow, painful MySpace death or something of that degree. But you know, there's always a chance. You never know how things are going to change. You know, it changed hands just as quickly. So who knows what'll happen?
This is true.
It's a guess.
I feel like I need to clarify the MySpace comment, by the way, for anyone too young.
Oh,
to know
sorry.
MySpace. Yeah. No, you're fine. And I'm sure most people are fine with that. I feel like the fandom is old enough in general terms to know what a MySpace is. But there are some who are probably too young to know what MySpace is. MySpace, I don't know. Would you say MySpace was like the first social media? MySpace was social media before there was social media, I suppose, maybe.
It was the first one I ever used.
I remember the landing page, because back then everything had a landing page, didn't it? It was like, you could put a song to play when you got there. You know, this is my profile. This is the song I have playing. This is obviously before copyright laws and all sorts of shit on the internet. You fucking put up whatever you wanted, you know? It was a song, and it was like color schemes and all that sort of stuff. And then, just suddenly people just weren't using MySpace anymore. Facebook had turned up, and you know, look at the,
and you had a top, you had a top 8 friends as well that you could assign.
Oh yes, I forgot about the top 8 friends. Oh my god, you could pick them. How bad is that? You could pick your top 8 friends, be like, you pissed me off today, you're number 9. you don't get seen anymore. And it wasn't there a bit
where
you could
subtle politics.
Yeah, you could. Wasn't there a bit where you could? It showed you how many other people had you in their top 8 or something like that.
Yes, absolutely. There was all that stuff. Yeah, and you could have anonymous questions sent in as well, and all that stuff.
Wow.
Just.
How just toxic does that seem right now?
Pretty bad.
It does, doesn't it?
That's pretty bad.
Oh god, but yeah, no, I hope Twitter doesn't die. I know that Elon Musk, Tedra and I, is that what he's being called?
I think that's the correct.
Elon Tedra and I is making a lot of changes, but I'm hoping he either like passes it on, or I don't know, like gets kicked out. I don't know. I hope it doesn't go, because I enjoy the tweeting and the blue check shit from the
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was imitating everyone else. That was fucking hilarious. That was killing me. Why did no one tweet as the Wheel of... Why did no one do the Wheel of Time account? Why did no one do that? Oh, that could have been a thing.
And I was like, man, I was like, this... so close.
But yeah.
I also couldn't justify paying the $8. I think I
was... No, like, yeah, that's it. Yeah. I would feel very, very... I don't know, just very trashy to go and pay the $8 to be like, hey, I have a blue check. What was it? Tumblr did its own blue check thing, but you got like two,
it did, yeah,
and you keep like adding them on, and someone was like, look, I've got 24 blue checks. You
know? Yeah, and then you could also send someone crabs the same way, so and just flood their feed with crabs for an entire 24 hours or something like that.
Wow. Yeah. God. If you had a Twitter version of that, it would be nipples. You just flood someone's.
Absolutely.
I mean, you already flood people's accounts with nipples, but you know, you could just target someone for a day. That would be entertaining. So, all right. If Twitter does go, are you just going to give up and hide on Discords, or?
I've made some contingencies. You know, I think I made a Tumblr, which I used to have ages ago, and then made one of those elephant ones too, or mastodon ones with the two.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I've got the contingencies in place, but, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. I'm still probably just going to stick with this until the ship burns or whatever, but,
yeah.
I've made it at least apparent where I'll be, you know, to most people, I think, at this point. And,
yeah.
You know, although I am on all the Discords too. I've joined plenty of that Discord. I lose track of it all the time, but I do check a few of them every day, including yours, for the record. So,
oh, that's very kind.
Yeah, you know, they're I think most of them are muted, but I think, you know,
this I have them like broken into segments, and then as it gets further down the list, they're like, I just pay less and less and less attention to them. I'm there for the tags, in effect. And occasionally I'm like, hey, what's going on this one? I'm just going to go like lurk for a day or so, or not a day, but you know,
a bit
of time. So
it's like a live stream almost. Like, it's like if you're not there while the conversation's happening, it's like weird to go back to. You still can, but like it's harder to be a part of the conversation at the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So, which, and Twitter's some of them,
some of them have a lot of people in, you know,
you
know, like 500, 600, 700, you know, I was like, mine always feels big. And I think there's like 300 people in my server now, which is, wow, that's mad to say. I remember back in the day when I was joining servers left, right, and center, I joined Daniel Green's server. I think I was in there for about 20 minutes and I was like, yeah, I'm leaving this. back then I didn't quite realize kind of like how little Wheel of Time content he does these days, which is totally fair. Totally get that.
Course.
You know, that's his angle is everything now. You know, I kind of, you know, thought, oh, get in there like he does Wheel of Time stuff, and found out that's like, you know, 5% of what he does. And I was like, oh my God, there's just ping, 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 ping. No, getting out. It was like, you know, someone stuck me in a pinball machine in like multi-ball mode or something. And I was like, where's the leave button? So
it's a lot. It definitely is a lot. Very, very much so. And, you know, you got to curate just like with Twitter, you know,
this
it's
is
your
true.
Experience. Do with it as you wish. If you want to lurk, please, you know, do it. Like, no one's stopping you. And also, if you want to post like we do, do it. Because obviously, you know, as long as you're just like not a crap person, like as long as you're just like nice and decent and like not like a hateful person, I think you're going to find a place in the community. So like, if you're shy, you don't have to be, because everyone here is pretty cool.
You
know, they're here to hang out and have fun. As long as that's your MO too, I mean, there's a spot for you. There's plenty of seats. So.
I agree. I very much agree. Yeah, just hop in and you know, add a reply to that tweet, and you know, get in on the conversation. So
it helps everybody, because like if they're like a content creator, especially that engagement, like your comment on a Twitter post pushes it to every one of your followers. Like that the fact that you've replied boosts that. If like you actually want to help support it and boost it, retweeting of course and liking, but commenting, that pushes it to the tops of people's feeds. Like that's just going to help them a ton, just get visibility. So there's a lot of value there too.
This is true. That's a nice segue, because I had a spot where I wanted to, because we're getting close to the hour mark, which is my target for this format. And that's a fun segue into where I wanted to sort of round off the recording. And that is, you have a podcast, Kev.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I do. Yeah? I sure do.
Tell us about it.
So I've got it's called the Kevin Podcast and Friends, in parentheses. And it's a show where I kind of talk a little bit like I do on Twitter a little bit in the terms of like the random ideas and thoughts, but I have like a one-on-one conversation with a friend or someone that I've maybe not spoken to in years, but like I used to be like close friends with in college or school or something like that. So the thing is, people always are like, yeah, sure, I'll come on. Even if it's been like 5 years, they're just like, yeah, whatever, cool. So people, I just get them on. We just chat about, like, you know, what's going on with them. A little bit, like, open formatted. Like, I don't come with a script, but I'll usually ask them, you know, if there's projects or things they're working on, just to kind of get them talking. I do also have interest in that stuff, but, like, I'm trying to get them, like, talking long enough that they relax and they slip into their, like, real kind of, like, more relaxed self, almost. Like, so, like, they hit that, like, weird... Have you ever played with Legos?
I mean, I have, yes.
Have you ever played Legos with like a friend, like building Legos, like as a kid?
Yeah, I think so.
So, like, was there ever like this time when you were like building Legos with your friend, where you just like you just start talking about the dumbest things, like the most ridiculous things that you could ever think of, or just like because you're like half thinking about it, but like you're like because your brain's partially occupied by the task at hand.
Right.
So you're like in this like zen state of like weirdness, and okay, you just have this, the strangest conversation. It's called Lego talk, and you know, so it's just like this like relaxed kind of like unhinged, just true to self, you know, conversation that just goes to weird and funny places. And that's usually what I try to highlight. You know, I like to, you know, leave all the stuff that they want to talk about in there too, but I'm really just kind of looking for those funny moments or those weird moments, and just kind of like make building the show around those moments and having like other stuff building to those laugh pump moments, or like when I've made a weird segment, like a riddle segment or something like that. Like I always come up with like weird, you know, half baked ideas for a game show middle way, like just using little bits of audio, or like if we did like a 2-minute improv, like if we were just like riffing like with a weird improv or like characters or something like that, you turn that into a clip. You just make that into an animation of like Little Orphan Kevin, which I posted on that night. You know, it's just like, it's, you know, it's just trying to get into that, like, just that fun hanging out energy that you have with friends, where you're, right. when you think about it, you're like, oh man, this would be funny if we had recorded that kind of thing. And this tries to replicate that in a way that's also promotional for them, or like just a place for them to talk ideas they have into reality, or just kind of like just experiment, just have fun with it, you know, try out characters, try out voices, you know, send stories in, like spooky stories to read or something like that, you know, just a place for people to have fun and do creative stuff if they feel like doing it, because you feel like you have to have like a reason to do it sometimes, and you don't. But if you have like a place to put it, it might incentivize you to keep doing it, kind of stuff. So it's a little bit like that.
I love that. That's really cool. Lego talk. I love this. I'd never thought of Lego in quite that way. So
yeah, it's just, you know, that's like the best example I can think of. So like, I'll tell people like, listen to music while we're talking, or like if you have like a game that's like mindless that you can like play while we're talking at the same time, do it. Relax on your couch, have like some TV show that you've seen 1,000 times on the background. So just like, we're just hanging out, we're just chilling, and people have a lot of fun.
I love doing and that sort of thing, actually. Yeah. I love putting on shows and things that I've watched before, so I'm prolific for. Every now and again, I'll go through, and I know some people love it, some people hate it, some people are very indifferent, but every now and again, I go through like a Friends phase, and I'll just be like, man, I just need to put Friends on, and I'll come in, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I might not even be in the room, I might be like in the kitchen washing dishes or something, and I just, I just put Friends on and it's just playing, or I'll just be like, I just put a movie on, you know, like Kayla, my roommate, yeah, like, yeah. Why did you just put this movie on? You just got up and walked away. I said, oh yeah, I'm going to sit. Like, I'll sit at my computer, which faces the same wall as the TV, meaning I'm not looking like at the I'm looking at the TV. It's playing in the corner. I might be tinkering with music. I might be like, I need to find music for a segment, you know, and but it's in the background and it's playing and it's just there, you know, half distracting me as I mindlessly pay attention to it. So
yeah, it's just in the background.
I appreciate that even more now. And I'm hearing in I'm seeing in chat that it happens in therapeutic art groups as well. So and on picnic tables. So we do have one question from live chat, and then we'll round it off there. Anas asks, how long have you done the podcast?
Let me look up the exact first post episode days, because it was, again, this was the first kind of like way for me to try to cure my starvation for human interaction. Cause I'm like mostly like, it's like 90% extroverted. Like I'm a very much like a person that needs to talk to other people to kind of get by long-term. So this was like, I made that. So the first episode I made was in January of 2021. So just coming around to, you know, 2 years next year.
Wow.
Like the thing is like one, I don't really care too much about getting, like, it's not like a get famous show. It's not like a, it's not like a, this is my magnum opus. This is like just a fun thing that I do just to goof around or like, in, you know, learn. Like, this is like how I'm just practicing basically if I ever wanted to make something more serious. But so I made the first one in January. And I think like there was like 1 month. The month of March, I posted three episodes. I recorded and and released three episodes in like over the course of the month, and then they became monthly. Maybe occasionally I get one out every other month, and just slowed down because that's just how life works sometimes.
Absolutely,
you can't account for everything, and editing is hard work. People don't realize what kind of goes into it. If you know. Especially if you're like making it kind of transformative, like I am, like I could just output the audio straight, and that wouldn't be the same show though, because like I am, you know, making the conversation tight. Like if we have a conversation at the start of the show, and we bookend the show with that same conversation, but it would make more sense if I just spliced it and put it right there. There it is. So you know, like so it'll be a complete entire idea in that moment, or if it works better as a callback, put it later. Like, so I do take it transformatively. I turn like audio clips into segments, or like the small talk segment is my classic one.
Right.
Where it's just like a simple, the dumbest idea about it is that, and dumb is in a loving way. This is very loving. The intro and the outro is longer than the actual talking because it's small talk. That's the joke. The joke is the fact that I ask a question, they say no, then it goes straight to the outro, and the outro and intro combined are most of the video. That's the joke.
That's brilliant.
It's a joke for me, and that's why I make it. But like, I know not everyone's gonna get that. That's what I'm going for. So I'm spelling it out now.
For when I post
more small talk segments, the joke is that the intro and outro is 90% of the video.
That's great.
That's what it is. That's the joke.
Isn't one of your episodes about the study of silence or something?
That was my April Fool's episode. An episode where I played the intro, and then I had like 3 minutes of silence, and then I played like a transition sound,
right?
And then like maybe 8 more minutes of silence, and then I did like a couple more other slight transitions, and at the end I'd put like an outro, like, oh, you know, blah blah blah, this is like this, thanks for listening to this dumb little episode or whatever, blah blah blah, and stuff, stuff like that. But I just wanted to see how much I could get away with, you know, just putting out 20 minutes of silent audio as a podcast, just seeing what happens. And as it turns out, way too many people download that one. And honestly motivated me to like make another one, because I was like, this is the first one. When people look onto my page, This is the one at the top of the list because it's the most recent. It's getting way too much attention.
Oh, wow.
I need to put one out to like balance it out to stop people looking at it because it was
people hop in and be like, well, this is your most recent episode, so I'll just like listen to it. And then
it is not a good introductory episode to my show. or maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Because... You see, I took down my first, I think, 5 episodes or something because they were just like before I got music. And I very much learned everything on the feet and I just like ran with it. But they're shocking. And I just kept, everyone would be like, apparently people were checking out my podcast because my very first episode, the numbers just kept going up and up and up and up.
People
and
I was
like,
yeah.
It's a shit episode. So I was like, which one am I actually happy about when I first go through the right? Everything else is being taken down because I was just fed up with people going back and being like, well, this is shit. What's going on here? So
at the very least, I put in the description, I was like, all right, there's an actual like 2 minutes of me talking at this timestamp. If you want to just skip to that, you can. But then, like, that's just in the description. On like, no one who actually reads the podcast.
Yeah, no one reads the descriptions. This is true.
You know, so this is for like the keen-eyed person.
Anas in chat is saying he did start listening to the silence episode. So
let me know when you get through the. Because the thing is, the funny thing is, like, again, the joke to me is that it's structured how I typically structure an episode, where I have a cold open and then I play the intro. And then I have a medium length talking segment, and then I have like a transition, and then maybe I'll have a goofy thing that I've made transformative in the middle, and then back to the real conversation stuff. So I kind of did that as well, but you know,
I love it. That's great.
It's with silence.
Well, I hope people appreciate your talking episodes as well as your silent episodes.
They're fun. You know, I'd like to get more people from Twitter of Time on there. I've talked to a few people about it. I think that, you know, it's fun to listen to when you know the person. And obviously I know that that's tough because I'm half of the buy-in. So you know me at least. So I'm going to be on every episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sometimes more fun to listen to your friends just show up on an episode. So I do plan on getting some of some Twitter of Time people on there. So.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to that. Yeah. Well, Kev, thank you for joining me today. This is this has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed the directions we've gone in, the nipple talk, the history of you a little bit, you know, and your tortoise named Kev. And the cat named
Zucchini.
That was it. Yeah, I was like, it's a food, and I can't remember what food it is. Zucchini.
We share that word, right? That's not like an aubergine situation, right? You say zucchini as well?
It's courgette.
I'm going to have to start calling her courgette.
There we go. Well, I'll call a courgette and you can call a zucchini.
Oh, that's fair.
On the odd occasion, every now and again, I'll just like tag you on Twitter and be like, hey, Kev, how's the courgette? I'm sure that won't cause any controversy on Twitter.
No, people will be like, oh, yeah, here's a... I almost just said, you can bleep this if you want. I almost just said pussy pick. So please feel free to cut that if you like.
But... And folks, thank you for listening to this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter. Join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.